Blog Talk Radio.
Empire State of Mind. Let's go.
Finger looking up. I'm ready for tonight. I feel good, real good. Can't nobody hold me down. I'm gonna take advantage of all these flashing lights. Cause it's the best time for it. We can do it
all right now. Every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 6:45 p.m.
for the Business Makeover edition of Destiny Empowerment Radio. Also, we have a special announcement here.
So we're gonna have, we also have the Recreating You Tour, which, well, not the tour, I would say, the Telesummit, I should say. The Telesummit is going to be May 21st, and through, it's going to be through the 23rd, and it's all from your home, and it's all virtual. So we would love for you guys to connect with us so that we can get you connected for that Telesummit. And also, we are going to be two of the speakers on the Telesummit that night as well.
Very, very excited
about that. And it's free, and it's all virtual, and it's from your home. So we do have a special announcement that we would like to bring your attention to. How many of you love plays? Kendrick, I love to see a good play. Don't you like to see a good play?
I love to see a good play as well. Hadn't seen one in a good while, but I heard that this one here is coming the week of Mother's Day. It's going to be off the chain.
Right.
I'm talking about my man, Kendrick D. Young, and his play, Love Don't Pay the Bills, also co-produced by Latreris R. Whitfield, along with Mr. Young. We got people in this play such as Shirley Murdoch.
Woo!
Chico DeBarge.
Chico!
Elise Neal. Man, that's a sexy little thing.
Whatever.
Tony Grant from Love Thy Neighbor, you know, Flip.
Yes, Flip.
And also Clifton Powell from Just About Everything. Been on Friday, Ray, you name it, he's been in it. So I'm telling you right now, everybody needs to get out May 5th through the 10th at the Black Academy of Arts and Letters at the Dallas Convention Center Theater Complex, the Naomi Bruton Main Stage. That's located at 1309 Canton Street, the corner of Canton and Ackert, Dallas, Texas, 75241. For ticket information, you can call the Black Academy of Arts and Letters box office at 214-743-2400, or you can go to Ticketmaster at Ticketmaster.com, or call Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. All right. So, Kelsey, it's about that time.
Right.
It is about that time for... We don't have it all, okay? It's okay. We are going in right now and just want to just let everybody know again about everything that's going on with the Destiny Empowerment Network. Please understand, this is a group of hungry, hungry, hungry lions. So anyone on the Destiny Empowerment Network, if you want to know what's going on with us, if you have a business and you want to get your business out there, you want to get linked up, contact us at info@destinyempowerment.com. Also, you can log on to the website at www.destinyempowerment.com. So, if you would, I'm just going to give you a quick plug here for the rest of the show. Today's show topic is going to be about healthy communication.
Oh, wow. We're going to talk about healthy communication and what that means, whether you're in business, whether you're in family, whether you're in relationships, it does not matter. We're going to be talking about that healthy communication.
All right. So we will be very happy to get with you all with regards to healthy communication. We're going to talk about everything from healthy communication in business, healthy communication in a marriage, healthy communication with your children, and even healthy communication just between friends and loved ones. We want to touch every subject of healthy communication tonight. And if you have any questions or concerns, or if you just want a shout out to us, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/Destiny Empowerment Radio. And while we're on the air, you can actually go into the chat and send us a shout on the chat. You can also check with any of the social media outlets that we have with Twitter, Facebook, and even Instagram. So if you would, please log in. You still have a little bit of time before we get rolling with the show.
call your friends, call your neighbors, get them on the line, get them in the place, because I'm telling you right now, we want to get you involved with Destiny Empowerment Radio and the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey. We're going to take a quick 30-second break here, and we'll be right back with the Success Factor. All right, our little 30-second break is up, and we are back to the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey. Sorry we didn't have any music or commercials at the time, but we will be able to get you that information here later. Right now, while we're on the line, we're going to go right into our show today, and our show is all about healthy communication. Healthy communication. So, Kelsey, to you, what is healthy communication?
I think healthy communication starts with you knowing who you are and how you connect and how you respond to others. What works for you? For healthy communication, I am a big communicator. I'd like to know everything that's going on. I also am a rewrite girl, so I write down things and I, you know, take little feedback and tips from the things that I, you know, get from the conversation and make the necessary adjustments. Now, I'm not your typical phone girl. I'm not that girl. I'm not the particular person that, you know, gets on the phone and, you know, has to have a long, drawn-out conversation. That's just not me. So those of you all who do know me, that's probably why you don't get the response you would like, because I don't talk on the phone. That's just not one of my things I do a lot of. However, I do engage in conversations via text messages. With everything that we have, all the technology and stuff that we have now, there are ways of communicating and getting out there, with your people and with people in order to, you know, get what you're trying to say across. So in that same vein, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, healthy communication is really more about a give-and-take situation, you know. When one person is talking, the other person should definitely be listening, and not just listening, but actively listening and participating in the conversation. You know, a lot of times we talk about people not actively listening, not effectively listening, or whatever, when we have a conversation. But the fact of the matter is, if you're talking to someone, if it's someone you care about and you love, then you need to go ahead and just basically be able to respond and feedback on anything that they put out there. This is a way, a healthy way, for everybody to be involved in the conversation, for everybody to be involved in what's going on. And not only that, you get really, really, really good information from one another sometimes. Not only that, it's good to get another person's point of view on a particular subject. So we have done all the things that we could to get the conversation going. We're talking, we're going back and forth, and we're already going back and forth on a conversation. So, hey, when I'm talking to you, I expect you to listen just like you expect me to listen. You know, so, you know, let's just say, like, at work in a business relationship, mm-hmm. What would you do? What would you consider effective or healthy communication at work?
Well, being that from a corporate America standpoint, when I did that, for me, we do a lot of email a lot of times. And most workplaces have the what I like to call instant messaging, or, you know, link, or, you know, ping, and whatever way you want a terminology that we want to, you know, that we want to say. So for me, making sure you proofread your email. You always want to make sure that you're going over the facts and stuff. There shouldn't be any feelings or anything adapted into your emails when you're communicating, if you're in a corporate America standpoint, or even, you know, when you're from that perspective, from a working 9-to-5 environment.
Right.
You know, you want to state the facts, get to the point, and, you know, when you write a whole book and go on and on and on, you have lost me in your communication. You lost me in paragraph 2. because you have just told me a whole bunch of stuff that I don't even really care about. I just want you to tell me what you need, how you need it, and what's the situation, and how can we resolve it. And that's what I tell anybody from that, because, I've been a supervisor in corporate America. I've done the manager thing. So I know exactly what we would talk about in meetings. I mean, we talk about y'all in meetings. Why y'all send us 2 books? You get to the point. Why you just didn't see? And why do you pop up and ask? Just send me an email and tell me what you need. That's communicating. Use your form and you basically use your tools and resources if you're in the 9-to-5 and just tell us what you want.
Okay, I get that, and I seriously get that. We oftentimes fail to understand that there is a not so much a hierarchy, but there's an etiquette that happens when you are in communication, especially in business. So what we find ourselves involved in, when we find ourselves enthralled in and what have you, is basically in a back and forth where both sides don't really understand the other, because, again, in a employee settings, they talk about management. In a management setting, they talk about employees.
We talk about employees.
So it's like both sides are talking about each other to each other, but when they get in front of each other or have a meeting, management will go, well, are there any questions? And everybody's silent. It's crickets. It's nothing going on. But then, soon as the meeting's over with, you can hear a couple of employees as they're walking past you as a manager talking mess about what you just spoke about in the meeting. And it's like, well, why didn't you speak up on that? Is what a manager thinks, and it's like, why are you not telling us this in the meeting where we can address it in front of everybody? Because you're not the only one with that opinion. Matter of fact, they know in a management setting what your opinion is because they thought it was crap themselves. Because a lot of times it's handed down from somebody higher up than them.
It's a pyramid.
that's a topic for another day about the pyramid. But I'm gonna tell you something. We have to really understand that, basically everything is a trickle down. It starts at the top. There's a big meeting with the big wigs at the top, and then they trickle it down to the executives and that middle management area and stuff, and then they trickle it down to the lower management and the supervisors and stuff like that, and then the supervisors and lower management trickle it down to the hardworking employees, and that's just a part of the communication. And a lot of companies nowadays talk about, well, we have an open door policy.
Well, I came from that era, so I don't disagree about the open door policy because I want you to tell me.
Right.
Because I put on my clothes just like you put on your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, and the only difference between me and an employee is a title. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And see, that's what we are understanding right now is that, it's not a situation where, where it's the title. I guess the thing about it is when there's a person that's in a management position like we are, they get into those situations where, not the manager themselves, but the employee feels like, okay, well, this person kind of has my life and my future in their hands. So if I say the wrong thing, and I could be out the door. Well, then if that's the case, then that's what you need to take into a meeting, especially like a one-on-one or a coaching session. You really need to take those types of concerns into those meetings. Don't you agree?
I would agree. Believe it or not, we do want to know what you feel. Because in order to empower change or make it be a better work environment, we do need to hear what you think or feel. I know a lot of you in the listening audience is like, no, you don't, because I've done that before, and my opinion doesn't matter, and I didn't get heard, and next thing you know, I'm on a write-up, and it just goes, manager. If that happens, you have somebody that is definitely not a good manager, because I'm telling you from my own experience, because I have been a manager and I've been a supervisor, and I understand that where you're coming from, but I also understand that I was told once, and not tooting my horn or anything like that, and you've heard many, Ken, we've worked together in the past, and we're working together now, And we've been in different areas, and you've been around some of my staff before where they have said that some managers are just not like you, Kelsey. They just not like you. And I know that because of the simple fact that, you know, you have to listen to your employees,
right,
which is why in a corporate America setting, the street goes both ways. We can't fix it if you don't tell us, and you should never feel like you're walking on eggshells, because if you're walking on eggshells at your place of employment and you're not getting what you need from a communication standpoint and you're not understanding what your role is and where you need to go or how that – what that road leads to, then I will tell you right now, listening audience, then you need to reevaluate whether this is for you or not.
I agree with that. And so that being said, let's roll into relationships.
Woo! Well, Mr. with the period.
Shout out to Montavia Morrow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Communication. Now, Kelsey, I'll tell you right now. We've been married 15 years.
Right.
Our communication is not perfect, but it's good, because if it wasn't at least somewhat good, we wouldn't last 15 years.
But it hasn't come with it without the roads and the battle scars.
Oh, not at all. I mean, to be honest with you, in a relationship, what a lot of people say is, what is the biggest reason people get divorced? Is it money? Is it because he cheated? Is it because she... Is it because she did this? Is it because of abuse? No, because ain't nobody talking. Because you know what? One thing I've learned in marriage is that, and in being in relationships, period, is that if you express what you feel or what you think, all of a sudden you've got a buy-in. You've got a partner. You've got somebody who's willing to listen to what you got to say. Even if they don't think it makes a bit of sense, they will still at least hear what you have to say, you know, because the thing about it is they understand what you are with. You're with somebody who you can communicate with. You're with somebody who you can discuss things with someone whom you can really, really sit down and just talk things over with. So to be quite frank, in order to delve into a relationship and do the right things within that relationship, you would have to, you absolutely have to be at a point where you can sit down and have a healthy conversation. Not where you're talking at each other and you calling her all kinds of this, that, and the other names, brothers, or your sisters, you calling them all kinds of this, that, and names, and this, that, and the other. No, actually sit down like two adults, rational adults, as calmly as you can, and express your feelings, being honest, being real, but also understanding that you're talking to somebody who has real feelings as well.
Well, you say that, but that's not easy as it does. But let me give you all a tip that has worked well for mine and Kendrick's relationship, and that is that we don't necessarily have that conversation immediately.
No.
Because I don't like him listening out. If I can't stand the ground he walks on, in fact, I want to castrate him my own self. I have no problem saying that about the man I love, who is my best friend, is sitting right next to me in the studio. I have no problem with that because I don't like him. I can't stand him. I won't. He don't do nothing right. He don't listen. He ain't following the instructions. He did X, Y, Z, B. So it's okay. It's cool. We don't have to talk right now. And that has worked well for me. Now, did we get that lesson at the beginning of our marriage? No. Didn't even get that lesson in the middle of our marriage. This is something that we grew into. We have learned that having what we like to call intense fellowship, we call it now, intense fellowship, we would not talk about the situation right off top if it was going to set me from 0 to 10.
Or me.
Or him. Because although, listening audience, my husband is cool, he ain't that cool. Y'all just see the sweet side, the nice side. Y'all don't see the other side that I see every day. He is not. He is not to me. He can be cutthroat. He can really be cutthroat. He really is. And so we have learned that we just don't talk right now. We just don't have that conversation right now. we go back and say, okay, I'm ready to talk. I give it, and it might be a few hours. But one thing we try our best not to do is go to bed mad.
Brother, just a word of warning. Don't go to bed mad, and or better yet, don't let her go to bed mad at you. This is a PSA. This has nothing to do with Destiny Empowerment. This has nothing to do with Kelsey Gordon. This is Kendrick Gordon speaking on behalf of any brothers in relationships or married. You must be cognizant of your lady. You must be cognizant of how she feels. I have no earthly idea any other way to put it except, hey, pay attention. If she's angry at you, if you have not spoken about it or addressed the reason that she's angry, the fact of the matter is, when you do decide to address the reason that she's angry, it better be before you go to sleep. Because I've done it. I've gone to bed. I've cooled off. I was done with the situation. She's still angry. I woke up with a pair of eyes staring down at me. And I'm telling you this not to be, not to scare you, not to even get you wary, but to think about it like this. If you are a person in a relationship and you love your partner, and you all are ride or die, y'all do everything together, you do everything for one another, here's the deal. When you communicate with one another and you happen to have one of those moments where you go into an intense fellowship and have a knockdown and drag out, once you cool off, you both need to cool off. And that's even if she goes to sleep or even if he goes to sleep. I think you would be best suited to wake the other partner up, because if you wake the other partner up and at least have a conversation, say, look, I don't want to go to bed angry. Even if they just be like, you know what, let's just go to bed and we'll talk about it in the morning. If you're not angry, but the other party was and they just went on to sleep, and they say, let's talk about it in the morning, go to sleep. May even have to sleep in separate rooms.
Done that.
And then come together in the morning.
Don't walk out that house,
either one of you, before y'all address that issue.
And give me my time. Because if I tell you to sleep on your floor with that dang on blanket and get out of my face right now, that means just that.
And if I tell you, hey, tonight I think I'm gonna be on the couch because I'm not gonna be anywhere near you. I just can't do it. I ain't gonna even try it. Do it, man. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Because hey, when you are in that type of situation, when you're in a relationship with a person and you really, really are in love with one another, you're in tune with one another, and so forth, you have to allow that love to come back in, because you don't love each other so much when you're angry at one another. So you need to allow yourself time to cool off and realize, okay, wait, number one, that's my baby, and they on my side. Even though I have my own opinion, even though I think my opinion is right, that is my baby, this ain't that big of a deal. Because half the time when you go through an argument or an intense fellowship, it doesn't even seem to be that big of a deal. Now, does it?
No, it doesn't, but at the time it is. And so my feelings is all in it. And so since my feelings is all in it, I get to go on and be mad at you as long as I want to be mad at you, because you did something stupid anyway. From a woman's perspective, because we think y'all are stupid.
Well, we have our own opinions too, and we don't want to make it a male female type situation. But what it is is that what we try to do, and that's why I'm glad we do this as a couple. From a man's perspective, is at a certain point, it's no longer that big of a deal. I mean, unless it's something we are truly, truly just passionate about. Sometimes, fellas, and I don't know. My grandfather used to tell me this. He said, Ken,
you got two choices. Sometimes in life, you can either be right or you can be happy. But you absolutely, positively cannot always be both. However, if it comes back that we're right, gentlemen, please don't rub it in. Gentlemen, please don't rub it in. I repeat, gentlemen, please do not rub it in. Take your victory internally. Take your victory internally. You do not want to start another argument because every man's objective is to have peace in his home. Every man's objective is to have peace in his home. You will not have peace if you are pushing this off onto a woman that you write. All right? That's my other disclaimer. Any disclaimers for the ladies?
My only disclaimer is actually to take it all in and listen to him. If he's talking, hear him completely out. I know it's difficult because I'm over here swole, and I got to get my point in because, you know, we have to get our point in, point blank in the period, ladies. So sometimes it works when Kendrick does tell me, let me finish, and then I can shut up accordingly. Let me finish. So I have to, and that's my cue to be quiet so I can let him get in because I'm ready to jump in and pounce like a panther, you know, like a panther. So, you know, I'm ready to do that, period. So, ladies, just let them finish. Let's let them finish.
Please. All right. So, in that vein, we're looking at the next issue, which is communication with children. You know, because when you communicate with people at work, you know, that's a professional relationship. When you communicate with your significant other, that's more of a one-on-one type deal. But when you communicate with your children, sometimes it takes strategy.
It takes God.
It definitely takes God. And it takes wisdom. Because, see, where your children are, you've already been. That's the most unique thing about the relationship dynamic between parent and child is that when you have children and you're talking to them, you can actually speak to them from an area of strength, from a position of strength, I should say, because that position of strength is you being right there in that child's shoes, you know, at 12 and 14, which is what our children are. And so when you sit there with 12 and 14 and you're looking at them dead in the eye, and it's looking like a gunfight at the OK Corral with you and the missus on one side and the children on the other side, it really, really can become one of those things that just makes or breaks a real relationship within the conversation. So when you have a conversation with your children, you don't also always have to be delicate, but you do have to be direct. You better be honest, and you better be very, very firm. Don't allow your kids to walk over you. Do you allow your children to walk over you, Miss Gordon?
No, and with the boys, they're boys. And so one thing about what I do love about the relationship that I have with my boys is that we're not friends. We're friends to a degree. And when I say that, it is the fact that they understand that I'm mom. And I'm mom first.
Absolutely.
Period. Like Mr. Period. We're not on that level. They know that I can't say it any other clearer for you all listeners. They know where to go and where not to go with me. But we also have that open door policy as well, to where they can come and talk to me. And I have asked them several times, do you feel that you cannot talk to me about any and everything? And I'm talking about any and everything, because let's face it, parents, we're in a society now where you need to know any and everything that's going on with your children and what they're facing. Because they are in a different world than what we grew up in. We grew up in a different type of way. There wasn't social media. There wasn't Twitter. There wasn't all these things out here, Snapchat, people sending video, and, you know, and there wasn't a lot of bullying and all that kind of stuff going on when we were kids.
Well, the only bullying I remember when we were kids is bring me outside at 3 o'clock.
And I'll take a bat to you. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying.
These people killing and doing different things.
They're killing each other. They're killing themselves. And so you really, really, in the age that we're in right now, we have to be sensitive to what the children are going through. We have to be sensitive to what our youth are going through. So in order to take a look at the situation at hand, much like the situation, God forbid, that's going on in Baltimore right now. Have you heard about what's going on?
No, I have not paid attention. What's going on in
okay.
Baltimore?
Let's talk about it. Okay, everybody. You know, in Baltimore, a gentleman by the name of Freddie Gray was basically killed in custody with the police. His funeral was today, and as he was being funeralized, as kids were getting out of school today, they decided they wanted to go and riot.
Oh, wow.
So the city of Baltimore has been under siege for quite some time because, you know, number one, there's no information on what really happened to Mr. Gray. He's 25 years old, basically was out one day. The cops made eye contact with him. He supposedly took off running. The cops went and chased after him. They went and got him from wherever they got him, you know, got him maybe like down in an alley or something. They chased him down an alley. But as they were taking him to the car and he was handcuffed, he could barely walk. Comes to find out that he had a spinal injury where he was basically near paralyzed. So in that vein, he was basically shoved into the back of the police cruiser, taken on into custody, and was basically kind of held. But when he got when they got him to the station or what have you, he could not breathe. He was couldn't walk, all those types of things. And subsequently, you know, went to the hospital. A few days later, ended up dead because he could not recover from the injuries that he sustained. Now, where did he get these injuries? God only knows. But apparently, the cops may have been trying to tase him or what have you, and he resisted or something like that is what kind of one of the stories is right now. So, you know, bottom line is it's another situation in that goes along with all the Black Lives Matter things that's going on right now with our young men being taken down by police.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very sad. Very, very, very sad that, again, our young people are being targeted by authorities. Maybe he wasn't targeted, but at the very same vein, something happened that caused him to be in a position where he was injured enough to die.
True. Yeah.
All right?
That's bad.
So in that vein, again, we basically can just go ahead and say, hey, you know, this is another one. So what's going on with the cops? You know, there was a photo that was put out, I don't know, last week or a couple of weeks, where it was like three white cops holding up signs talking about, "Don't make me shoot you in the back." And the response to it from Diddy, actually, was he had a sign that said, "Don't make us shoot back."
Mm-hmm.
Which goes with what happened with the brother who got shot in the back just a little bit ago. And it's just like all these things continue to happen bit by bit by bit by bit. And, you know, when I sit down and I talk to our children about it, back to the communication side, is we have to be very direct with them, but also understand where they're coming from. You know, our children are angry, and they live in an age right now where they can actually act out. They can voice their opinions a little bit more than what we could when we were children. And they do. They absolutely do. They voice their opinions. They speak up. And sometimes they speak up a little too much.
Well, you know, I rather, from my perspective, when we talk about Calvin and Kevon, I'd rather they speak up and tell me
mm-hmm.
than for me not to know. And that's one thing about it, because we've grown. I mean, Calvin and I are butting heads right now to a degree, and he's the oldest. But he, excuse me, yes, I know he acts like me, but we do have a conversation, and we do talk, and I tell him, you know, let's be honest, this is what you're going to face. Now, I will tell you this now, one thing about it, we cannot watch our kids 24/7, but what we can do is equip them with what they need in order to do whatever they need to do. And one thing is that you absolutely need to sit down, spend time with your children, and hear what's going on. Ask them how their day was. I do it every day. How was your day? Because I tell them my job is to go to work and, you know, do what we need to do to provide for them, and their job is to go to school and get an education. But I also want to know what their day was like. So ask them. Really sit down and take the time and find out, because it will make a whole lot of difference in building your relationship in communication with your children.
Absolutely. Because, you know, another thing, too, is as they grow older, the issues that they have, they want to talk to somebody. They want to speak with somebody. They want to speak with somebody who is grown, who may have an opinion. Who better to speak to than mom and dad, who have been there before? Maybe mom and dad are too close, or maybe mom and dad are too authoritative at times. I'm not saying you have to be your child's friend, but you have to be able to speak to your child on their level and in such a way to where you develop a trust level with them. Encourage them to be honest, but also demand them for them to be honest at the same time. We do that with both our children. We encourage them to be honest. We encourage them to speak their minds. We encourage them to speak up and speak out. But what we do tell them to do is, hey, when you're in the presence of grown folks, you better be respectful in how you speak.
Mm.
You better have your tone right when you come across mom and daddy or anybody else grown. And if we hear about it, it will be dealt with.
That's a problem.
You know, and that's the whole situation. It's never done, like I just said that right there, it was firm, it was direct, but at the same time, it gives them a level of comfort to where, okay, all I got to do is just say it a certain kind of way, make sure I word it right so that it's understood what I'm saying. And then mom and daddy won't trip when I give my opinion on something and be like, hey, you out of line. No, our children can't be out of line if we put them in line. Children have to be checked, just like even grown folks have to be checked every now and again. It's no issue with checking people. And that's another thing. When we talk about conversation, healthy communication.
Right.
You can have healthy communication in conflict too.
You can.
Because sometimes in conflict is the best time to get some good communication going. When you're in the midst of talking about some things, I know you have, Kelsey, when you're in the midst of talking about some serious stuff, sometimes when we have to stop and it's not even an intense fellowship, you could be talking with a family member, you could be talking with a business partner or a friend. If you have something honest that you want to get up and off your chest, you get it up and off your chest, but you can do it in such a way where they still feel the love, but they understand the serious and the gravity of the situation.
Well, my biggest thing and stuff, and here's me, I always tell people all the time, do not ask Kelsey what she thinks. This is a PSA right now for anybody that is out. Do not ask me what I think or feel, because if you really want to know, because if you do, Mrs. Kelsey Gordon, April 27, 2015, that part of me is still true. She will tell you exactly what she thinks or feels. And I mean it in, and I don't mean it in a ugly way or a vindictive way or trying to get back at you or doing anything like that or whatever. But people who know me, truly know me, know that I shoot from, I shoot right off the top, guns out. Shut up, kid. But I try. I try my best to do it in a way where it does not come off as, you know, as offensive or untactful. But that took a lot of growth in me to do that because I, you just don't want to know. Because, I mean, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you in the honest way. I'm going to do my best to tell you in the honest way and not, you know, be ugly with it. But at the same time, this is my thoughts and my opinion, which everybody is entitled to their thoughts and their opinions about it. But you got to be able to deal with this. And I always say that twofold. I can give it. If I give it to you, I have to be able to receive it in the same way as well. So I say that as well because I, you know, hey, I have to be able to receive it back, and which I'm good with. I always say that when you're dealing with conversations in any relationship, you got to be, in as far as healthy communication, you got to be able to take, everybody has a part to play. You have to be able to take accountability for what you say, and you also have to be able to hear it and receive it. Then you make the necessary adjustments. No one's asking you to change who you are, but if it is constructive feedback or whatever the case may be, then take what you need from that information and make the necessary adjustments. And you don't always have to agree. You and I have been married for 15 years. Do we agree on everything that comes across?
Absolutely not.
I mean, you all see this love. Y'all see our pictures on Facebook and all these things, and we're happy-go-lucky, whatever. Let me tell you, there, like I said earlier in the show, there are so many battle scars here. I mean, we've dealt with so many different emotional things in communicating. There was times where I was not talking to my spouse about a lot of things, which led to me being depressed and contemplating taking my life. I can talk about it now because that's one of the things that one of my mentors told me, that in order for me to be out here and communicate and talk with people, they have to know the heartache from me as well. And my husband had no idea that I was at that point where I wanted to end my life. And it was a lot of things, not till it was almost too late, and he'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is you don't want it to get that far in any real good relationship, no matter what relationship type it is, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's personal, whatever. You have to be able to talk to each other. You have to be able to come to an understanding, you know, especially in a relationship, because here's the thing. When you saw her, or sisters, when you saw him, and y'all connected that first time, it was, you know, it was something about him that just made you want to talk to him. And what happened? You opened your mouth and you started a dialogue. Once the dialogue started, it continued. It developed into a friendship. It developed into a relationship. For many, it has gone as far as into marriage, you know, and children, and doing all types of different things together. For others, you know, it's at least in a healthy relationship, long-term possibilities of going towards marriage. You know, those are the things that you look at. You know, those are the things that, you know, all start and stem from a conversation. Kelsey didn't like me when we met.
I did not like him.
But because we talked and we got to know one another, she judged the book by its cover. I judged the book by its cover, too. I thought she was just cute, just somebody I could just deal with, just somebody I could just kick it with. Didn't know that kicking it would turn into 15 years and still counting and still growing strong. And neither did she.
So yeah, Kelsey, I definitely didn't like him.
Right. So, Kelsey, In about, you know, we're about 10 minutes away from closing now, what are three main points that Kelsey looks for in healthy communication? Three one-word points.
Listening is one. That's my first one, being able to effectively listen. And when I say listening, That means not talking to me and texting at the same time. That's not listening to me. I don't understand how people do that, but I've learned that as a, from my youth people yesterday. But nonetheless, listening to me, that's one thing. Actually making sure that I received the information that you give that was given to me. And number three, being engaged in the conversation and giving me true, honest to God, honest feedback.
So when you're talking to me and I'm just like, Yeah,
I got it. Yeah, I don't like that. That ain't communicating. That's just you sitting up there doing something else and you're really not listening. But I've learned to tell you I'm not listening to you.
And I've learned how to do the same thing because, you know, it again, and that comes to my 3 points. One of my biggest 3 points is be honest. Be direct, because I don't do subliminal messages. You need to tell me flat out what it is. I don't read between the lines. I don't have context clues and all that stuff going on. Tell me exactly what it is you want. So be direct. Be honest, be direct, but also be understanding. When I say be understanding, I mean when I'm talking to a person, I want them to understand that they're talking to somebody who has a point of view on the other side. It doesn't matter what area we're in, whether we're in business, whether it's personal, whether it's whatever. If I'm talking to you and you're talking to me, I'm going to realize that the person that I'm conversing with has an opinion, has their own point of view, has their own way of looking at things, and so do I. That being said, I will also be mindful to let you know, hey, I don't agree. That's just being honest.
Yeah, that's just being honest, and you're entitled to do that. Don't agree, and we don't have to. And, you know, I always take a cooling off period because, again, back to what I said, sometimes I won't respond to you right away because I need a minute, and there's nothing wrong with that. I won't pick up the phone, and I don't have to call you. And, again, this is my personality, and I'm not that phone girl. I don't talk on the phone all the time. That's just not something I do. I'll text you if you text me back. And that's a part of where we are right now in the world we live in. I don't have a problem with people texting. I will tell you that. I don't have a problem with people really texting, but I do think that sometimes things do warrant you to just pick up a phone and make that phone call if it's necessary to do that. But really, really, really getting down to the crust of it, you just have to – I think if you're just honest and you just share and care with people and just really just say, hey, you actually hurt my – hey, you hurt my feelings, or hey, you know, how did – when you said that to me – that it can't. I didn't know how to take that because, you know, people do wear their feelings on their sleeve, you know. So sometimes you don't even know what you said really did hurt or really did, you know, have an impact. You don't know that. So with that being said, you just have to be careful with it. And you have to just make sure that you do try your best to communicate with whoever it is, whether it's on your 9-to-5, whether it's on with your children, whether it's in a relationship where you're dating, whether it's in your marriage, no matter, or even a business relationship, you have to, you know, you have to communicate. Boy, Ken, you know, first of all, listener, I want to say thank you so much for hanging in here with us tonight. Usually we have in the studio, we have the music going and all sorts of things going here in the Success Factor. But, you know, hey, it was such a hot topic tonight to where we just didn't even have all that for you all tonight because we wanted to really talk about this communication thing. So we just want to give you a few reminders. Please don't forget about the play. Mother's Day week, May 5th. Yeah, don't forget about the play here in the If love don't pay the bills, that ain't with me. Love don't cost a thing. That's a movie, kid. Let's get it right. So you want Mother's Day week. You want want to get in there, if you haven't gotten any tickets, please, please support the play. I know that we here in the DN Network, we are supporting the play that week, so please make sure you reach out to us. Also, if you want to be a part of our fabulous network, KG Success Factor and the DN Network and Destiny Empowerment, we are looking to help 1,000 families. Now, we KG Success Factor alone is doing 100, but we also want to wrap up to 1,000. Let's get in here and help people take it to a whole new level, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're that person and you're ready to be a part of us and ready to be a part of the movement, the initiative, in, you know, helping change lives, then please connect with us. Connect with us so that we can take it to a whole new level, because we are looking to help people with financial freedom. We're looking to help, you know, take them to a whole new level. You know, Ken, we did talk about the initiative real quick because, you know, we don't have that much time left.
Yeah, the initiative is basically this. We have a dealing to want to get 100 families involved in being financially free. And I don't care what type of avenue you have. If you have an avenue, reach out. We don't judge and we don't discriminate with different types of avenues of getting people financially free. What we're trying to do is if you're in business, or even if you were looking to get into business for yourself and do some things to move yourself to the next level, then, hey, latch on to us here at KG Success Factor and also at the DEN Network at www.destinyempowerment.com. Also, you can log on to facebook.com and like our page on the KG Success Factor page. You can look us up at anywhere and just ask us what we're doing to help. Try to help 100 families in 2015 get to financial freedom.
Absolutely. So again, time sure does fly by. We had fun playing in the Success Factor tonight. Wouldn't you say, Kendrick? We have had a lot of fun. We're so excited. A big shout-out. Don't forget to listen in to our show tomorrow night. It's from 6 to 6:45 p.m. Miss Sharice Riley will be on the scene. You don't want to miss it for your business makeover. And, again, we have big things happening in Destiny Empowerment Network. You want to miss on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. with our Mr., the relationship coach himself, keeping it together with Montavian Morrow. So you know what? Because we love you guys so much, we're going to close you out with a song. Since we did not give you one during the show, we'll give you one now. And as always, we love you from KG Success Factor, and continue to join in here with us every Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We love you, and keep it moving.
Thank you, and good
night.
Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see, I beg, stole, and I borrowed. Yeah. More.